when that bright star appeared in the west. So alive, so real, it seemed to be shouting, come, come quickly and see this wonderful new thing. Why, it didn't take any special eyes to see that here was an answer. Maybe even the answer to the nine within. What else could I do but go? Still, there were times in that long journey when I feared the darkness that was in my own soul. I wondered if the whole trip was foolish and fanciful, following after an impossible, meaningless dream. On, pushing ourselves and our camels laden with gifts against what lay out there. When I think about our arrival in Judea, my heart sinks. I can only assume that the habits of protocol compelled us to visit the capital in Herod. A new king, I said, a great and wise leader. I might as well have called Herod a has-been fool. And you still, in spite of my big mouth, insist on calling me a wise man. Well, behold the foolishness of the wise. I even asked Herod for his help in finding the child. May God forgive me. He was only too willing to help.
Official, tell me, what news and tidings have you brought to me today?
No news today.
No news today? Well, something must be happening in my kingdom roundabout. Oh, dear, this is very troubling. A little faster. That's good. So, well, if there is no news, I want you to go out in my kingdom. Find news. Bring it back to me. Send out. Oh, on the way past that Easter farm, if that fellow does, if that farmer doesn't pay his taxes, burn the place. Yes,
sir.
Hey, wait a minute. Have you heard?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
King Herod, King Herod. Oh, wait.
Yes.
News.
News?
Yes. There are visitors in town.
Oh, who are they?
I don't know, but the city is troubled.
Well, what do they want?
They're asking about a newborn king.
A newborn king? Send for my chief priests and scribes.
Yes, sir.
Chief priests and scribes! Herod wants you!
What have you heard about these visitors?
Not much, sir. I just heard it around town, that's all.
Well, what have you heard about these visitors?
I don't know, man.
Nobody knows about these visitors? What have you heard? You're my chief priest. Tell me, what about these visitors?
Let me go check the scrolls.
Check the scroll.
What do you think of?
Well, why are they here?
Gentlemen, we're checking.
Well, what do they want? Well, where are they from?
They are from Bethlehem of Judea.
Oh. Go. You're dismissed. Except for my official trustworthy. You, go get these wise men, visitor people, bring them before me that I may have a council and find out about this newborn king. And hurry!
Bow before King Herod.
So, you're from Bethlehem of Judea, are you?
Yeah.
Well, what are you searching for?
King.
A king. But I'm king! I'm King Herod!
Well, king of the Jews.
Oh. Well, have you found him?
No.
Well, where do you plan on looking for these people?
Bethlehem
of Judea. Well, how do you know what's going to lead you to him?
The star.
The star? What star? Oh, that star. Well, where? What time did it appear?
We heard later that hundreds of children had been slain, and all because of our visit.
How could I have been so foolish? Why did I suddenly look away from the star to seek the help of a murderous lunatic? Did I doubt the star's ability to guide, to lead us through the wilderness and the danger? Hadn't the star been guide enough?
I could not believe that the people whose king that we had come to worship were not only unaware of his arrival, but also indifferent. They gave us blank stares when we asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Of course, Herod's scribes and priests did interpret the scriptures and discover that this Christ child, this king, was to be born, and they gave us directions to Bethlehem.
Okay, well,
that thing out of my face.
Here's a map. Maybe I can help you. See? Egypt. Nope, that ain't it. That's got to be here someplace. Too many maps. Ah, Bethlehem of Judea. Okay, I want you to go here and start looking for this guy.
Oh, where is Bethlehem?
Well, you find them. You're the wise man. You bring back word to me so that I may go and worship him also.
Hey, you.
thou Bethlehem Ephratah, thou art little among the thousands of Judah.
Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, which is to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Micah 5:2.
What should have been the hope of Israel became an annoyance, for it disturbed their complacency. These religious leaders could turn to the Holy Scripture at Herod's command and quote the prophecy of Micah regarding the Christ and where he should be born, but I don't remember one of them asking permission to accompany us and to walk that small trip to Bethlehem to worship this new king.
Perhaps Herod, in his wicked and barbarous madness, did demonstrate a glimmer of wisdom enough to fear that for all his wisdom or his splendor and greatness, a swaddled child born to penniless parents was somehow more powerful and more splendid. We set out for Bethlehem again. The star was going before us, leading us to the very house where the young child was. Although,
don't you mean the star led you to the stable?
No. Although it is true that Jesus was born in a stable, and that's where the shepherds went. Stable. Who would have thought? I mean, who would have thought that God's gift to mankind would come on a bed of straw? The utter poverty and humility of the whole scene. So incredibly unpredictable, and yet so absolutely perfect. But anyways, I'm digressing here. We wise men went to the house where the young child was.
Matthew 2:7-11. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.
When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Unicorn.
that child, and I knew that the journey, the danger, the darkness, the waiting, the longing, the looking had all been worthwhile. And I knew that I would never be the same. When he looked at me, I was both terrified and excited, overjoyed and yet somehow very sad. Perhaps I had already guessed what the world would do with its precious gift of salvation. But we presented our gifts before them, the family, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so precious, and yet, after seeing that child and realizing who and what he was, they seemed so meager.
Peace of honor and Take your songbooks once again. Number 81. Song number 81, shall we stand? Singing right out on verse 1. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Verse 3 as the last. Hail the Lamb, our Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Prison with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more. Good singing. You may be seated. Just a few comments to finish our program this evening. The story has been about the wise men. That's been our center of attention for our whole program this evening. And we began with the revelation. And we took some liberties as to what may have happened. We don't have anything definite in that area with the Bible on some things, but we trust that it might have been food for thought as you heard the different parts. The question I might ask is, why did the wise men come? And as you're thinking about that question, you might think about another one for that matter. Why did Mary and Joseph come to Bethlehem? Well, the second one's kind of easy. You might say, well, the Bible said it had to happen that way. And that's true. But really, the answer is she had to. And he had to. Why? Because there was a decree that went forth, and they had to go. But she was with child. She still had to go? Yeah, she still had to go. It's not like today where you can say, well, let's just forget about it until we get some more convenient time. Not in those days. They had to go. And so they fulfilled the prophecy that was in the Bible and went to Bethlehem. She had to go along with Joseph. The wise men, why did they come? They came because they wanted to. Think about the wise men. Why they came? They came to worship. You can also think about Herod. You had King Herod. He said what to the wise men? He sent them, go, and when you find out word, let me know about it so that I can come and worship too. But consider the wise men and the king. The king didn't know the location, didn't know anything about what was going on. He was in total confusion. But the wise men knew about the birth. They knew about that before they left. As you saw on the map, Jerusalem, or perhaps couldn't quite see, but Jerusalem was very close to Bethlehem. And so for the king, he was really close to it. But the wise men, unlike what was said, they didn't come from Bethlehem. They came from the east, from far away. They took this journey that you saw coming up the aisle, this long journey. The king, he could have gone to Bethlehem with them when he found out that this newborn king was born in Bethlehem, but he didn't. But they instead not only looked in Jerusalem, but they went to where the child was born. in Bethlehem. The king, he could have sent gifts, but he didn't send anything. At least nothing that's recorded. But the wise men, they had gifts. Not only that, the king wanted them dead. If you read the scripture a little bit later there, everybody that was 2 years and younger, he wanted them killed. So you tell me who wanted to worship this newborn king. You tell me who was ready to worship. Was it the king, King Herod? Or was it the wise men? Both said that they wanted to worship. The title to our program, Half Has Been Told. And that's true. The other half we didn't emphasize this evening about the shepherds. The portion that we emphasized was found in Matthew chapter 2. But the other half has also been told as well. And so the whole story has been told. Most people, I believe, in this country have heard it at one time or another. A lot of people accept this time. They accept the birth. When we were down to New York City and we saw the pageant down there, and the last thing they ended with was the nativity scene. And the flash bulbs were going quite extensively. And the people were in awe as they watched this last scene. They really enjoyed it. And so people kind of accept this time, this birth of this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then as they consider his life as he grows up, they reject that. They reject his death. They reject his return. And so this evening, as once again we presented the story, we trust that you might realize that that birth was for you. That life that he lived was for you. That death that he died was for you. And when he does come back again, hopefully it will be for you. If you take and accept the offer of salvation that God has provided, then you'll be ready to praise and worship him. You'll be like the wise men, prepared to worship. Is that an important thing? Well, there's one verse in John chapter 8 that I'd like to read. And it says this: I seek not my own glory. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. We break in the middle of that. He says, I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Let's just leave off the last two words. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh. There's one that seeketh glory. One that seeketh worship. That's God. He wants our worship. But you can't come to him just in any way you'd like to. You have to be prepared. And then when we do come, is our hearts really full as we praise him for what he has done? The last class ended with this song, Glory to God on High. We had the different parts of the wise men, and we ended up with the last thought, the glory. Glory to God on high, peace upon earth and joy, goodwill to men. We who God's blessing prove, his name, all names above, sing now the Savior's love. Too vast to scan, too vast to scan. He came to this world not just to be born and celebrate this time, but for a specific reason. Love that no tongue can teach, love that no thought can reach, no love like his. God is its blessed source, death can ne'er stop its course, nothing can stay its force, matchless it is. Mercy and truth unite. Oh, 'tis a wondrous sight. All sights above. Jesus the curse sustains. Guilt's bitter cup he drains. Nothing for us remains. Nothing but love. If you take a cup and drink the contents of the cup, supposedly there's nothing left there. And so this verse, how does that fit in? Guilt's bitter cup he drains. Nothing for us remains. Nothing but love. I think you all know about coffee or some other beverage. Sometimes at the bottom, there's little things left in the bottom. And so perhaps you could think of that. After all is drained, nothing remains but love. There is something there from the cup that he took, the cup of death. I trust this evening that you might consider the wise men, not only what they did and why they did it, but It's part of that story, once again, that we hear so often of. I trust that you might believe in that story. Believe in the person of that story, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you too may worship Him. That's kind of our program this evening. It went along very nice. I'd like to thank two special people. First of all, Mrs. Wolfley over here, she'd stand. She was the one that came up with most of the idea for the program, which I'm very thankful for. And Mrs. Wilson over here, who helped put this together, who gets the shakes, whether it's going to come out or not. And then we had our two main characters over here, if they'd stand once again. They did a lot of memorization. And also, I didn't put in the bulletin this evening, but we had an organ player. I wasn't sure, but there's Teresa and Mrs. Feifler over here. So we're thankful for them and all the teachers. And they're listed on the bulletin. We've had all the classes participate tonight. And we trust that you might have enjoyed the program. And we would invite you to come out to our Sunday school if you have no other place to go. We meet every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And if you have any questions, please feel free to stay behind and ask. We'd be more than happy to help you with those questions that you have. This evening we have some candy for you as you go out the doors. And we don't want you to run away, but there's some refreshments downstairs in our big basement. You're invited to stay after for a while and chat with us and enjoy the rest of this evening. Let's just close in a word of prayer before we leave this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for this evening that we've had. We thank you for the hard work that's gone in by the individuals. We thank you for the message. And it's your message. We thank you for this time of year, which we once again can consider your birth, and the impact of it. We thank you for your love for us. We pray that each person here, young or old, might know that love which you gave for us. We thank you for the love that you've shown. And just bless the time together as we have our fellowship and refreshments downstairs. We ask it in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming. And see you downstairs.